This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Emotions run high in a South Carolina courtroom.
She didn't just kill my daughter. She killed all of us.
That's the mother of newlywed bride Samantha Miller, who was killed when her golf cart was hit by a car after a beach wedding in April. Bradley Warner is the late woman's father.
We're setting a bond so that she can spend time with her family, right? I don't get to see my daughter. I don't know why she can get out to see her family.
And in the end, a judge denied bond for 25-year-old Jamie Lee Komorowski, who's charged with reckless vehicular homicide and driving under the influence. Court appearance in New York today for the man charged with killing three women more than a decade ago in the Gilgo Beach case. Rex Hoyerman suspected in a fourth death. He's pleaded not guilty. District Attorney Ray Tierney.
This is an individual who's very much living a dual life, a life that he presents to the public and then a life that he keeps hidden from the public.
There's word grand juries are working today in Washington, D.C. and Georgia in 2020 election cases that could increase the legal jeopardy for former President Trump. Overseas, there's been a partial pardon for a Nobel Peace Prize winner, as we hear from CBS's Elaine Cobb.
The military-led government in Myanmar has reduced the prison sentences of ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi. She was pardoned for five of an initial 19 offenses, but she must still serve 27 of the 33 years she was originally handed as a sentence. The clemency order was linked to a Buddhist religious holiday.
Well, CBS's Jim Krasula now shines a light on an important story today.
It's lights out for incandescent light bulbs starting today. Stores will no longer be able to sell the old-fashioned bulbs that have been around for generations. This woman is in favor of flipping the switch from incandescent bulbs to LED versions.
I think it's a good thing. I know they're more expensive, and I'm glad they came out with the newer LED that are more the shape of the incandescent, because I hated those curly ones.
You'll still be able to use any leftover incandescent light bulbs until they eventually flicker away.
Well, fans of the U.S. soccer team watched a tense one today at the Women's World Cup, a scoreless draw with Portugal.
We'll take the chance to play another day, anytime.
The result, very good enough to propel the American women into the knockout round. Tiger Woods has joined the PGA Tour Policy Board for the first time in his pro career, as it looks to iron out a partnership with the Saudi backers of the LIV Tour. Checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is up 11 points, the S&P is down 16, and NASDAQ is down 65. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Kentucky Fried Chicken's new.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The new liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to fire the director of the state court system. Randy Koshnick was appointed by the outgoing conservative majority in 2017. Koshnick says he doesn't know why he's losing his job. The Journal Sentinel reports liberal justices are expected to hire Milwaukee County Judge Audrey Skoroski on an interim basis. Koshnick is a former Jefferson County judge who ran for state Supreme Court and lost in 2009. The court will flip after Janet Protasiewicz is sworn in at 5 o'clock this afternoon. A new effort to increase confidence in Wisconsin elections is up and running, Pete Schwabe reports.
The group Keep Our Republic organized in Wisconsin this spring. It held its first seminar for local leaders last night in Chippewa Falls. Director Kathy Bernier.
Our community engagement programs begin to tell the truth about our elections to the people like you, and then you can help spread the truth.
Bernier says Wisconsin has safe, fair, and accurate elections. Keep Our Republic is a nationwide group pushing back against conspiracy theories which cause voters to lose trust in the process. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
Another top Republican is deciding to stay out of next year's U.S. Senate race. Congressman Tom Tiffany is the second high-profile Republican to pass on challenging incumbent Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Tiffany says he'll run for re-election for his U.S. House seat instead. That's what Mike Gallagher decided to do about a month ago. Other Republicans who still might run are businessmen Eric Hovde and Scott Meyer, and former Milwaukee Sheriff David Clark. Striking workers at Lining Coolers Brewery in Chippewa Falls sit down with company leaders today. About 45 workers at the brewery have been on strike for 3 weeks. The union wants more money and other concessions. The company says it's made a generous office, that is. This is the first strike at Lining Coolers since the 1980s. Back to school time will be here before you know it. A new survey finds parents want their children's social-emotional development to be a top priority. Alex Gonzalez reports.
It's important for parents and teachers to establish communication to encourage behaviors that lead to positive social interactions. Chairman and CEO of Goddard Systems, Dennis Maple.
It allows you to become engaged in the learning that's taking place in the school so that you as a parent or as a guardian or whatever the case may be as a family unit, can reinforce what the children are learning in the school each and every day. And again, this notion of social-emotional intelligence is a really, really important thing to have.
Maple says social-emotional learning is the development of social interaction, understanding and managing emotions, and practicing self-regulation skills. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Marijuana is still illegal in Wisconsin, but in Minnesota, recreational use by adults is legal starting today. Peter Morell teaches a class about the science of cannabis at the University of Minnesota. He predicts marijuana will not become a major public nuisance.
I don't expect that we'll see an enormous change in the culture around smoking and, you know, open air use.
Marijuana is illegal in Wisconsin both recreationally and medicinally. There have been medical marijuana bills introduced in the state legislature, but no laws have been passed. A proposed constitutional amendment to block the government from closing houses of worship in Wisconsin during public health emergencies gets its first Senate committee consideration today. A number of other states have passed similar laws. Governor Evers' stay-at-home order during the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 shut down non-essential businesses and limited the size of indoor gatherings. I'm Terry Bell. This is Civic Media News.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany announced today that he will not seek a spot in the U.S. Senate. He'll instead focus on re-election in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Tiffany, who is in his second term in the House, represents northern and parts of central Wisconsin. Tiffany said he can make the greatest impact by serving in the House of Representatives. There are no announced Republican candidates to run against Tammy Baldwin in the Senate election next year. Charges have been filed against two people with helping a murder suspect stay on the run from law enforcement. Kamon Golden of Cadott was arrested last month in Illinois by federal marshals after several months on the run, after law enforcement said he and two other men were responsible for shooting and killing a man in Altoona last September. Golden's mother and his ex-girlfriend were both charged with aiding a felon in Eau Claire County Circuit Court. The high school football season gets underway today as it is the first day of practice. Some teams held midnight practices to celebrate the beginning of the new year, such as at Regis in Eau Claire. Season openers are August 17th and 18th, with the end of the football year coming the week before Thanksgiving with the state football championships. Eight-player football begins practice next week. Dozens of striking workers at Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls will meet with parent company Molson Coors today. Nearly four dozen employees went on strike 3 weeks ago seeking better pay. At the time, Molson Coors said it made an offer that was higher than similar union jobs in the area. Local 662 Teamsters Union said it's the first strike in the brewery in about four decades. Some Chippewa Falls bars have stopped serving Leinenkugel's as a show of support for the striking workers. The company doesn't expect the strike to affect its production or its sales. And the National Weather Service in the Twin Cities says temperatures today should be comfortable in the 80s. We'll have temperatures warming through the week to near 90 degrees by the end of the week, with some storm chances returning tomorrow and Thursday. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media weather forecast. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. A high pressure is sitting over the Ohio Valley, and it will filter in a mix of sun and clouds today, with a bit of light wildfire smoke in the northern half of the state early, clearing by 3. Otherwise, a widespread calm day ahead, with low 80s in the Northwoods to some upper 70s possible along the shores, from a lake breeze blowing out of the southeast. Near Milwaukee, winds may gust up to 25 miles per hour at times. A hotter day expected for the rest of the state, but not humid, with mid to upper 80s in the south and along the Mississippi River. A small chance for a storm or two may cross into northwest Wisconsin after 5. As it rolls in from Minnesota, it will lose its strength and begin to dissipate, so none are expected to be severe. Tonight, temperatures fall into the upper 60s to low 70s with some lakeshore fog building in. Have a terrific Tuesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose in D.C. Good afternoon. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night at Nationals Park in Washington, D.C., it looked like the Brewers had a win over the Nationals.
And now here comes Weimer, who's hit it hard twice, but has nothing to show for that. He's 0 for 2. Hit in the air into center field, and that ball is crushed. Call going back, turns around. Watch this, baby. Goodbye. Brewers take the lead. Joey Weimer smashes one into the seats in right center field to make it 3-2 Milwaukee in the 7th.
Highlight Bally Sports Wisconsin. The Nationals came back to score 3 more runs and get the win 5-3 over Milwaukee. The Brewers have now lost 4 in a row. Corbin Burns has had 6 quality starts in the past month. Win or lose, it seems like the Brewers are in tight ball games every night.
Yeah, it's a product of playing good baseball teams. Obviously, coming out of the break, we've played a lot of good baseball teams. Probably one of our tougher stretches of our schedule as far as the teams we played. These guys, obviously record-wise, doesn't show as a good team, but they still got a lot of good baseball players. And if we don't come out and play our best baseball, then any team can beat you. So. Obviously, the last couple of days hasn't gone our way, but I think that there's signs of us, playing some good baseball. We scored a lot of runs in Atlanta, scored a couple runs a day, so it's definitely there. We just haven't, pitched the ball the best.
The Crew made a trade with the Mets last night, picking up outfielder Mark Canna, batting .245, 6 home runs, 29 runs batted in exchange for pitcher Justin Jarvis. Canna joins the team tonight. Craig Counsell.
Probably going to play a lot of right field, and that's going to move Sal to some center field, so we'll have to kind of mix and match with the outfielders. We got the DH spot, obviously, that's going to be in play too, and there'll be some, whether it's Christian or Mark, with some DH at bats, it opens that up too. So we feel like it gives us some flexibility at the DH spot still, and it's an outfielder that has been a really solid offensive player in the league.
NFL, the Packers had their first practice in pads. The play of the day was a 45-yard bomb from quarterback Jordan Love to wide receiver Christian Watson.
The rookie jitters are out of the way. I've been in the league for a year, and I'm was focused 100% in the offseason on just improving, my game and, myself in every single way. My number one goal this offseason was to come back and just to be able to play as fast as possible. I worked on the mental side and the physical side, and I'm just trying to go out there and play fast.
And the Packers had a special guest, Peyton Manning, arrived to talk to the players. What was it like to be with the former Colts and Broncos Hall of Famer Jair Alexander?
Peyton Manning?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it feels good because, we beat Peyton Manning in the Pro Bowl. got a little advance, got a little advance off that, so it was always good to see Peyton.
You're the king of good trash talk, though. Did you say anything to him today?
I just take the ball from his son every time I see him. Punch it out or something. He starts smiling. That's all.
That's Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit. Because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge. By cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. And I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big-name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 66. Slight chance of a thunderstorm on your Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 87. Wednesday night, slight chance of a storm, partly cloudy, 66. Mostly sunny and 90 on your Thursday. Slight chance of a storm Friday, 86. Currently, 78 degrees.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. It is Tuesday, August 1st. August 1st already. Holy moly. And we got Luke and Aaron, the squad, back together. Gentlemen, how are we doing this Tuesday afternoon?
I'm good, Will. Having some fun. Yeah, I cannot believe it's already August here, but glad to be with you on the airwaves. August 1st.
The summer's gone fast. Aaron, how about you? How are you doing?
The endless ticking of time, which is a flat circle, is ever unceasing. I'm good.
We're going to alternate back and forth between time is an endless circle and time is an illusion. Some days it's real, some days it's not, depending on where you get your information from, Luke, which is a good segue into today's question of the day that I have for the audience. And I want to ask you, the people of Wisconsin, is reality partisan? Do Americans view truth exclusively through a partisan lens based on where they get their information? I think this is a conversation that really needs to be touched on both locally and at the national level, because as we're getting more and more information coming in, it's kind of showing that where you get your news and information will directly impact how you see the world around you, what actions and behaviors you are likely to believe in or take. And we're seeing some long-term ramifications from that, Luke. You found an interesting piece over from the JAMA Network, which is the Journal of the American Medical Association, a peer-reviewed medical journal published 48 times a year by the American Medical Association, publishing original research, reviews, and editorials covering all aspects of biomedicine. The original investigation released July 24th, titled "Excess Death Rates for Republican and Democratic Registered Voters in Florida and Ohio During the COVID-19 Pandemic." The investigation was done by Jacob Wallace, Paul Goldsmith Pinkham, and Jason Schwartz, asking the question, was political party affiliation a risk factor associated with excess mortality during the COVID-19 pandemic in Florida and Ohio? Now, this is a question that I've seen posed by essentially every platform in American media, Luke, asking the question, was your relationship to a political party, do you identifying as a member of a specific political party have an impact on how you reacted to the COVID-19 pandemic, and therefore were you more or less likely to take the necessary precautions to keep yourself healthy or safe? And the findings of this study, after evaluating 538,159 deaths in individuals aged 25 years and older in Florida and Ohio between March of 2020 and December of 2021, found that excess mortality was significantly higher for Republican voters than Democratic voters after COVID-19 vaccines were made available to all adults, but not before COVID vaccines were available to all adults. I think that is the incredibly noteworthy point here. These differences were concentrated in counties with lower vaccination rates and primarily noted in voters residing in Ohio. The meaning, according to the study, was that the differences in excess mortality by political party affiliation after COVID-19 vaccines were available suggests that the difference in vaccination attitudes and reported uptake between Democratic and Republican voters may have been a factor in the severity and trajectory of the pandemic in the U.S. Luke, here we have tangible proof. We have evidence showing that a certain political party that was less inclined to get the COVID-19 vaccine had higher mortality rates than those who were inclined to get it. And we know that where you get your information, what news you are ingesting, very likely had, you know, impacted what you thought was necessary to protect your own health. How do we rectify this? Is this going to be something that we see going forward? Are we living in two different Americas?
That is a million-dollar question right there, Will. And I think it's a little bit of a loaded question. I don't know if I have an answer for that. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Is everything perceived now through a partisan lens? 844-967-2789. You can call or text here. We're talking about a journal from the American Medical Association, Will, and I don't. This determines the validity of the medical side of things. I don't know if Republican or Democratic lean was necessarily the indicator. I think it's the information that individuals leaning back and forth between Republican, if you're leaning more towards Republican voter, or if you lean more towards being a Democratic voter, where you get your information varies differently. And I think that is the big aspect of this one. I think this one does come down to what sources of information you were receiving through this time period. Again, share the dates with folks. This was from March of 20 or May of 2021, once the vaccines became widely available.
Yeah. So the study evaluated individuals 25 years and older between March of 2020 through December of 2021, but they really wanted to note the differences in mortality pre and post release of the vaccine for any and all adults that were interested, so that they could note, you know, if you were likely to get the vaccine or not, would that have an impact on mortality?
Yeah, and so depending on where you get your information, I think there were different sources there, some saying go get the vaccine, others more skeptical of the vaccine. And so depending on who you see as a trustworthy source and who you listen to could have changed dramatically that outcome. And so I think it's an interesting study to have it viewed through the Democratic or Republican voters, but it is an interesting aspect to see where this lens, how this lens is applied to information like public health.
Yeah, and to take it a step further, Luke, to just read the results page straight out. Between January 1st of 2018 and December 31st of 2021, there were 538,159 individuals in Ohio and Florida who died at age 25 years or older in the study sample. The median age of death was 78 years. Overall, the excess death rate for Republican voters was 2.8 percentage points, or 15% higher than the excess death rate for Democratic voters. However, after May 1st of 2021, when vaccines were available to all adults, the excess death rate gap between Republican and Democratic voters widened from negative 0.9 percentage points to 7.7 percentage points. In the adjusted analysis, the excess death rate among Republican voters was 43% higher than the excess death rate among Democratic voters. And these rates were larger in counties with lower vaccination rates and was primarily noted in voters residing in Ohio. So I agree with you 100% that the better question is where you does where you get your information mean more to whether or not you are likely to do this or not versus the necessary partisan lens. But JAMA Internal Medicine, which again is the Journal of the American Medical Association, a peer-reviewed medical journal published 48 times a year by the American Medical Association, where they were looking at it through specifically through a partisan lens, on if it was, if you were a Republican voter versus a Democratic voter in right. comparison to where you necessarily got your information. That's what I would be more interested in knowing going forward.
It's not something that you can really track in that regard.
It's difficult. It's difficult,
something that after you pass away, then you go and do the study would have to go follow up with the individuals in your life to find out where your news sources were. It is easier to see just going to voter rolls and getting this information of party lean. I do understand that. As the premise, I'm just saying I don't think it was necessarily a Democratic or a Republican-leaning voter aspect that led to this outcome. I think it was the source of information that these individuals that ended up dying from COVID-19, where they got their information from, led to these outcomes. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to participate in today's show, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. You can be like Ken Bob in Garyville. Ken Bob, what are your thoughts on this Tuesday afternoon?
Well, I'm with you, Luke, on that. I think the political aspect is what determines what news sources they get. However, I think there's also a connection to that, in that one side has a strong necessity. They've sort of been courting the disaffected voters. I remember way back when Air America started, and we were getting all these wacky calls from people who were saying that, hey, smoking isn't really bad for you. Well, I have a study here that shows that it helps with Crohn's disease. You know, so Crohn's disease, not affecting that many people, not generally fatal, versus lung cancer and a whole host of other cancers that kill you. But these were all people, Republicans. They were very, very critical of the progressive hosts on Air America. And this has continued now with, you know, anti-vaxxers started on the liberal left. I know we were kind of affected by it until they debunked that autism crap. But that's been shifted over. The Republicans are basically courting all the lunatics. You think now the UFO enthusiasts are getting courted by the House of Representatives. So I think there's definitely a movement to exploit fringe beliefs on one side. I guess I'll put it that way.
All right, Ken Bob. So you're looping this into more into the conspiracies, kind of fringe ideology, not just the standard mainstream political lens that this American Medical Association journal came out with in this study. So it's an interesting aspect to take into it too, Ken Bob. Appreciate the phone call. You could be like Ken Bob, 844-967-2789. You can give us a call or send us a text here on Town Call discussing whether or not if everything is now perceived through a partisan lens, if where you get your information is siloed off, and that is siloed off through a partisan lens, are all outcomes then siloed off through the same partisan lens? We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Because, Will, it's one of those, is it the chicken or is it the egg situations? Are you going and finding these media sources because they already confirm your beliefs, or are your beliefs formed through the media sources that you're consuming? It's an interesting conversation to have. We want to have it here on Town Call. You can participate on this Tuesday afternoon, 844-967-2789. If you've got a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to cover here on Town Call, you can send us an email as well, towncall@civicmedia.us. You can send us comments, concerns, show ideas.
Give a Twitter shout out too, Luke.
Yeah. You can follow us on the socials on whatever this new site is called. I think it's something that marks the spot. And you can follow us at TownCallWI. You can also follow Town Call on Facebook. I don't think that one's changing, but you know, we had that whole meta conversation as well. Town Call is going to continue the conversation. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News brief. A South Carolina judge considers bond for a woman charged with a fatal crash that killed a woman leaving her April beach wedding.
I do indeed find the defendant is at risk of flight and danger.
The judge deciding no bond granted for the 25-year-old woman. There's a court hearing in New York today for the man accused in the Gilgo Beach killings more than a decade ago. Phoenix shatters heat records for a major U.S. city in July. Reporter Kylie Cruz is there.
We just wrapped up a 31-day stretch of temperatures at or above 110, and 17 of those days were at 115 or hotter.
107, the expected high there today. At the Women's World Cup, U.S. fans celebrate a scoreless draw with Portugal, a result that's good enough to send the team on to the next round.
I don't think the U.S. played their potential. I think they played coming out like they needed to defend the game, which they did, so it's all good.
CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For WCFW and the Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. A Cameron man is in custody and is accused of making a threat at a bar in Barron County. The Sheriff's Department said 34-year-old Scott Popple was arrested Sunday night after they got a 911 call from Ben and Maggie's in Cameron. The caller said a man showed up at the front door with a gun and was making threats. Popple had a gun when he was arrested. He has not yet been charged for any crimes. Dozens of striking workers at Lightning Kugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls will meet with parent company Molson Coors today. Nearly four dozen employees went on strike 3 weeks ago seeking better pay. At the time, Molson Coors said it made an offer that was higher than similar union jobs in the area. Local 662 Teamsters Union said it's the first strike in the brewery in about four decades. Some Chippewa Falls bars have stopped serving Leinenkugels as a show of support for the striking workers. The company doesn't expect the strike to affect its production or sales. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess. Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight, I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me, and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Doesn't matter what you see or doing what you read, you can do it your own.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Luke, today we are talking reality from a partisan perspective. Is the way you view the world exclusively decided by where you get your information? And we are leading off with a piece from the JAMA Internal Medicine Network, the Journal of American Medical Association, noting that excess death rates for Republican and Democratic registered voters in Florida and Ohio during the COVID-19 pandemic. Luke, something we talk about on the show a lot is that, you know, information can be manipulated. It can be used to push a certain narrative based on how questions are asked or how they're phrased or how they're approached. Politicians and people can lie, Luke.
Corporations
are more than happy to lie, but numbers cannot lie. Numbers can be manipulated to present a certain narrative, again, just like words can be. But unless you are admittedly making up the numbers, they are incapable of lying. And we are seeing in this study evaluating 538,159 deaths from individuals aged 25 years and older in Florida and Ohio. Those who identified as Republican voters were more likely to die than Democratic voters, with a 15% higher excess death rate and 43% higher excess death rate post-release of the COVID vaccine. Now, I want to hear from you, the people of Wisconsin. Do you think where you get your information from is going to decide how you see the world? Because again, Luke, we're seeing these numbers right here. Now, this is just one study from two states in the United States, but these deaths happened. And could they have been attributed to something else? You noted during the break, I'll let you cover your theory during the break. That we discussed during the break.
Well, yeah, but I mean, again, it's one study, so you can only use it to have the conversation. It's not a definitive. It's not an end all be all. It is one study through pretty heavily peer evaluated source. I think the American Medical Association is a pretty rock solid source when it comes to discussing medical studies. Like this isn't some out of left field. You've never heard of it before. Zero reputation study. The American Medical Association.
It's not a Twitter account throwing anecdotal evidence at you.
No, it's not. It's hard numbers, as you've pointed out. And so the one interesting follow up question I would have is why the difference between Ohio and Florida? Because that would be where you go next. So, okay, is this strictly an Ohio and Florida thing? Like, what was this? Could this be replicated? And that would be the next part of science and studying this would be, okay, is this replicated among Democratic and Republican voters in California, in Idaho, in Maine, and see if you continue to see similar margins of excess death rates between Americans based on their voting history. And that is how you could then get to more conclusive decisions from it. But this is one study. And so it intrigued me. Why did Ohio have a higher death rate, increase in their death rate than Florida? My knee-jerk reaction would be, well, Florida was probably easier to social distance and get outside and not be indoors as much. Ohio is in the Midwest. They have harsher winters than Florida. I don't know that for certain. But seeing how this study then can be replicated across other states and other voting patterns around the nation, that would allow a more conclusive view of how partisan lens of voting history impacted individuals, as this study points out, both pre-vaccine when there was no excess death rate among Democratic and Republican voters and post-vaccine available, and see if it could be, if the similar numbers could be replicated around the nation.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure something, Luke, that we will be seeing in the coming months and years, likely, as you know, the pandemic is still affecting us and likely will be for years. I mean, supply chains were destroyed across the globe, and millions of people lost their life across the globe. And we're going to continue seeing the ramifications of the pandemic for years to come. And it'll be very, very interesting as more and more of this information comes up. But Luke, I want to kind of parlay that into another topic of discussion that I think also could be looked at through partisan lens. And that's election integrity. We have focused on this over the past few weeks with numerous episodes discussing the American voters' confidence in their electoral system. And I think depending on where you get your information as well could determine whether or not you have faith in free and fair elections in the United States, particularly regarding the 2020 presidential race, right? This is still a conversation that we are having to this day. You look at what Megan Wolf has been dealing with the Wisconsin as Wisconsin's top election official and the administrator of the Wisconsin Election Commission, this is still an ongoing issue that we are facing today, nearly 3.5 years later. You look at, I'm reading from a piece over at Pew Research, Republicans remain skeptical of absentee and mail-in voting, and they are now less confident that votes cast in person will be counted accurately. Republican candidate supporters were only very confident in 26% of Republican voters, while 55% of Democratic candidate supporters were very confident. We're seeing this in numerous different industries. Where you get your information will directly impact how you see the world. I don't see a simple solution for this going forward. And I think that's why it's really important to have people like Civic Media on the ground being able to report on what's going on at your state and local levels.
Yeah, I think the whole endeavor that Civic Media has taken on is attempting to be able to have more inclusive dialogue around all of these issues and having the conversations and talking about these things, because for far too long, I think we've seen the media ecosystem become so siloed and become create this media ecosystem that we now have very different results for depending. So where you get your information again goes now whether or not you believe. And it's interesting because it's not like individuals that went out and voted for Ron Johnson in 2022 are all of a sudden still having questions about the re-election of Ron Johnson to a third term. The doubts aren't there. The doubts are specifically to a 2020 election and applied in other unique areas. Nobody was contesting the special election results in here in southeastern Wisconsin this year when a certain outcome that was expected, they were a heavily gerrymandered district and the Republican candidates won. And so the fact that integrity in the elections only gets questioned when one side wins or loses by certain people, it's harder to have a conversation about all of this when you've got the siloed off groups and nobody's talking to each other. They're all talking past each other.
And you're having essentially a different conversation with a lot of these individuals, right? If the question is simply, do you believe in free and fair elections, you might get a different response than from asking the question, was the 2020 specific election free and fair? As you just noted, there were no questions regarding the results of the 2022 election, right? Despite the fact that it was run by the same individuals, the same election commission was in charge in the state of Wisconsin. You look at, again, I'll note the differences in confidence in person polling voting and absentee or mail-in ballot voting. Very confident Democratic supporters in October of 2022 were 55% very confident in in-person voting. Only 26% of Republican candidate supporters were very confident. Absentee or mail-in ballot, 43% of Democrats were very confident. Only 10% of Republicans were very confident. This, we're seeing this across the board, Luke, that whatever the situation may or may not be, where you get your news directly impacts how you view the world around you. And I can even present to you a third concept, which would be climate change, right? Republicans, young and old, reading again from Pew Research, tend to be skeptical about the effects of climate policy on the economy in comparison to Democratic and independent individuals. And these numbers are quite large. There was another poll done by, I believe, Monmouth. Half of Americans call climate change an existential threat that requires major legislation. 50% of all U.S. adults, 78% of Democrats, 45% of independents, only 24% of Republicans. Again, where you get your information is directly contributing to how you view the world. I think you made a really good point earlier, Luke, when you touched on, are people finding news sources that confirm what they already believed, or are they searching out news sources to provide them information that they may not already know? And I think that's going to determine how we're able to approach these conversations in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to share and contribute, 844-967-2789 here on Town Call, you can contribute to the conversation. We are having a discussion. If everything is viewed through a partisan lens. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. And, Will, we've got a little bit of a busy texting line on this Tuesday afternoon. We've got somebody texting in, listening on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, the Shaw in Waukesha, the Beast of the East there, the 540 AM signal. Listening with a 414 number, texting in, asking, well, one study is not proof, asking for the specific proof when we were referencing the American Medical Association journal that we kicked off the show with. But then they go on to elaborate, vaccine, which I took three times that I wish I could take out of my body based on an experimental vaccine that didn't work or prevent the disease, creates by gain of function by Fauci. Now, I know all of those words. I don't know if I've heard all of those words in the same strain in that order before, but it's interesting to me that somebody went and got the vaccine three times, so both of the initial doses and then a booster dose, but now no longer wants to have this vaccine in their body. It seems like they are still alive and with us. The vaccine protected them throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. But it's an interesting aspect to take when it comes to after receiving the vaccine. Post-vaccine now, you don't want it. So to me, that would lead that there were sources of information that shared that they should get it. They went and got it. They even went and got a booster dose 9 to 12 months later and now are vehemently against the vaccine. If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. If you're listening right on the Civic Media app, you can do so right from the app. Easy interface on the brand new redesigned Civic Media app. 844-967-2789. But Will, does that strike you as a little strange as well? Somebody upset after the fact? So it's not that they just got their information and they didn't go get the vaccine. They got the vaccine and now are upset about it.
Right. It's interesting, certainly, because as we noted before, where you get your information is generally deciding how you will view the world going forward. So you were exactly right, Luke. They got the information that told them you should get vaccinated to protect yourself. They went and did. They are still here. They are still with us and they are able to text us. But now they regret it after the fact. And it'd be interesting to know how many people fall into that demographic as well, because I don't know. I'm not affiliated with the American Medical Association. I do not have access to this information as much as I would like to and as fascinating as it would be, but you're exactly right, Luke. That's a great point. That where did this change? What new information was presented to you, asking our listener in the Shaw, what new information came to you that I guess changed your stance on vaccination, as clearly if you received both the first and second vaccine and the booster, you were inclined to believe that that would help you at that time. So we're going to continue this conversation. Does partisan lens directly impact the way you view the world? I'd like to hear your thoughts, people of Wisconsin. I mean, it's fascinating. We see this across the board. Look, it's not just regarding vaccination status. It's regarding election integrity. It's regarding your belief in the ever-changing climate around us. Do you believe that where you get your news and information will directly impact how you view the world and how you are going to be able to have these conversations with friends, family, neighbors going forward? So we'd love to hear from you. 844-967-2789.
We're going to get to those phone lines. We see you starting to stack up. We're going to get to those phone lines. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. Or do it what you read. You can do it your own way. If it's done just how I say.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples. Some of
the first Marathon County Fair attractions and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. She's the newest of seven elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a longtime tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
93.5 The Tap.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny with a high near 85. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 66. Slight chance of a thunderstorm on your Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny with a high of 87. Wednesday night, slight chance of a storm, partly cloudy, 66. Mostly sunny and 90 on your Thursday. Slight chance of a storm Friday, 86.
Right now, it's 80.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking, is reality partisan? Do Americans view truth through a partisan lens based on where they get their information?
844-967-2789. You can share your thoughts with us here on Town Call. Up next on this Tuesday afternoon, we got Steve in Milwaukee calling in. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely it is these days. You know, ever since Trump started, I've evolved. I voted for Hillary. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt when he started. And then obviously I voted for Joe, but I was more of a Bernie fan. But, you know, I know to avoid, you know, outlets like the Washington Examiner and Forbes sometimes kind of skews things, and I don't know, you guys got me into the Raw Story and Salon. I think those are really good sources, but you know, this whole climate change denial, and you know, there's just all kinds of crazy stuff that all started with Trump, and it's all about greed and money, power.
And you think this exactly. This is a uniquely since 2016 phenomenon then, Steve? You think this is Americans as a whole have gotten more.
It became more prevalent, and it became it wasn't as obtruse, or what's the word I'm looking for? Overt. It was more overt. It used to be more covert, and it's all very clear now where their agenda is and why they do what they do.
Gotcha. We appreciate the contribution to today's show, Steve. You can be like Steve. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across the Civic Media Network. Up next, we got CJ from Stoughton calling in. CJ, what are your thoughts? I know that you listen to a lot of Civic Media, but you listen to a lot of other outlets. Is everything that you view through a partisan lens?
Probably. But I also watch it all. I watch CNN, MSNBC. I know the difference between news caricatures or personalities than actual news. If you want real news, watch Fox, Brett Baer, Special Report, 5 o'clock. It's actual. You'll get both sides of issues. So, yeah, it is viewed.
And that's the only place that you can find that, CJ?
No, I watch them all. You can tell I watch them all.
What are some of the other straight shooters out there then?
Here's an example. Can I give you an example?
I just have a question. I want to know what other straight shooters are out there.
Well, You know, as far as, you know, I watch George Stephanopoulos. I watch Meet the Press. I don't exactly agree with a lot of them, but some of their guests I do. And here's the thing. I'll give you an example. Devin, who just testified yesterday, you know how many minutes were covered on CNN and how many times they covered Trump? 675 times for Trump, 38 times for the testimony that potentially shows proof of a corrupt president. And you guys want to make it about Hunter Biden. It's not. It's about the big guy. He's bought and paid for by China. And that's why fly balloons were allowed to fly over. Nothing done. You guys,
the
really,
DOD,
you know,
the DOD experienced the fly balloons during the Trump administration, CJ, and Trump's DOD did not do anything for Chinese.
No, they didn't.
Yeah. Okay. See, and this is why it's important to talk about these things, because yes, the Department of Defense said as the Chinese spy balloon came out, that there were several reports of unidentified flying objects or these balloons throughout the Trump administration as well. It was a phenomenon that they were aware of, and March, February, whenever that first one.
Say who it was, Luke. It was General Glenn Van Herk, head of the North American Aerospace Defense Command, who noted that the original flights of the Chinese spy balloons over the U.S. took place during the Trump administration, but they were not detected due to a, quote, gap in the Defense Department's ability to track certain airborne objects.
So NORAD, CJ, NORAD said that they happened during the Trump administration. We appreciate your phone call. We appreciate your contribution to Town Call on this
Tuesday
afternoon.
I do think, though, Luke, CJ had a good point about opinion piece versus news piece, and I'm going to ironically use the exact same example he used, which is Fox. Tucker Carlson and Sean Hannity were always labeled as opinion pieces whenever they were performing their shows because they are held to a different standard. And they argued this in court during the Fox defamation suit, if you may recall, which cost Fox over, $700 and something million, I believe?
Something close to that, yeah.
An absolute ton of money that they were found liable for because they had been sharing false information on air. They tried to hide behind the fact that a number of their personalities are simply opinion pieces, not news presenters. Their words, not ours. But I will agree, CJ, that it's important to note who is an opinion piece versus who is a journalist, because most of these major publications do that.
And sometimes, yeah, that is hard to discern from just reading the pieces. So sometimes it's not necessarily super clear. Again, appreciate the phone call, CJ. 844-967-2789. You can be like CJ or you can be like Jack in Merrimack. Jack, what are your thoughts on this Tuesday afternoon?
Well, first of all, the gentleman that texted about, I wish the vaccine could be out of my body. Yeah, it is. It's. And, you know, unless you just got the vaccine in the last couple of days, what it does is, of course, it triggers your immune system. But this is a big problem. My guess, and I can't verify this because I don't know the person, but my guess is what happened is he got the vaccine, and then he's listening to repeated non-scientific contentions. The vaccine's dangerous, the vaccine doesn't do any good, you should use this or that or another chemical. And, you know, there's only one political party that has repeatedly gone against the science, not just of the vaccine, it's the science of climate change, the science, the mathematics, and even the court cases that show that our voting system is legal and that there's no significant voter fraud, unless, of course, you count things like excessive gerrymandering, extremist ID requirements, stuff like that. But there is no voter fraud to speak of that is perpetrated by individuals. This is the problem. You get one party that completely goes against the science, the studies, the legal proofs, and they just keep repeating it. And as
Well, we appreciate the phone call, Jack. Sorry to cut you short there. We're coming to the end of the show here on Town Call. If you missed any portion of the show, check out the podcast wherever you listen to your fine podcasts. Town Call will be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldis Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldis Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.